This Twit News comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Stay in control when it comes to your company's access points and authentication. LastPass makes enterprise-level security simple for your remote workforce. Check out LastPass.com/Twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twit News Special 352, recorded Friday, April 3rd, 2020. Black Magic Designs Update. This Twit News Special is brought to you by LastPass. From access to authentication to passwords, LastPass manages every entry point to your business so you can mitigate risk while improving employee productivity. Visit LastPass.com/Twit to find out how they can help you. Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte here. Collar turned up. I haven't been out of the house in months. No, actually, I was here a few days ago. But we are, for the first time in some time, in the big studio. John's way far. Talk about social distancing. John's 20 feet away, and he's wearing a mask. I am here in a sanitized area of our studios because I felt like I was getting a little claustrophobic in the other studio, and I thought it'd be fun to go into the big LastPass studios today and do something we haven't done in a while and probably won't do all that often, which is cover a live announcement event. I'm thrilled that Black Magic is doing this. It's my guess that because NAB 2020 was canceled, that was supposed to come up this month in Las Vegas, but obviously is not going to happen. I figure Black Magic still says we have things to announce. Frankly, the first place I go when I go to the NAB show in Vegas in years past is the Black Magic booth. Always really interesting. Lots to show, lots to talk about. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they have to announce today. We use TriCasters for our main switcher, but Black Magic makes, and we don't use Black Magic cameras, but Black Magic makes some really good gear, both for high-end video production, but also for low-end. I have at home, the switcher I'm using at home, the A10 Mini is just a few $100s. Are we ready to go? 5, 4, 3. Here we're going to go. There's the countdown. Let's check what Black Magic has to share with us as soon as they go to it.
Hi, I'm Grant from Black Magic Design. And today I'd love to show you some new updates we've been working on. Obviously, working very hard on considering the circumstances we've got going on at the moment. We've also got some new products to show you. So let's have a look.
There's the A10 now, Mini right in front of him. That's what I was talking about, and I love that.
Summary on A10 Mini.
This is such a cool
Everything we're going to be showing you is going to be built on top of what we're already doing with A10 Mini now. So I think it's probably worth just starting with a summary of kind of its feature set.
A lot of podcasters
we've been very happy with the response to A10 Mini.
And a lot of people who work very hard are doing and, streaming from their offices and so forth.
What we've been able to do
would be interesting.
You know, it's an all-in-one control panel-based design. So what that means is the switcher and the control panel are actually the one single unit. It's very easy to use. You just push the buttons on the front to change between cameras, so it couldn't be any simpler.
Even
outputs to a USB as a webcam, so you can use any video software such as Open Broadcaster if you're streaming the video. It even works with Skype for presentations. It's got four HDMI inputs, so it can support up to four
Zoom.
Video cameras.
Anything that takes a video camera web camera.
You can see I've got that plugged into input one. That's just
so he's got HDMI out of that camera going into the back of the
A10. HDMI inputs also work with computers for like slideshows if you're using PowerPoint or Keynote. And also they work with gaming consoles. That's because each input has got a separate Teranex scaler and standards converter. So you can pretty much just plug anything in and it works. So you can actually set the switcher standard independently of what the video formats are. Now, there's also a HDMI output for connecting to TVs and video projectors or even an external recorder. There's also a built-in DVE, which lets you do picture-in-picture effects. And also you can do animated DVE transitions with that as well. And, yeah, that DVE stands for digital video effects, which is those little picture-in-picture type effects you see.
The key for most people will be that it has a Type-C connector with a Thunderbolt that you can connect to your computer as an input, as a camera. I don't see it as a webcam.
It's very, very powerful just as a product like that. But then if you use the ATEM Software Control app, you get a whole range of professional broadcast features open up. Now, the ATEM Software Control works on the same connection that the USB works with. So if you look at the USB here, and if they switch to the user interface, you know, if I unplug the USB here, you can plug it back in again. you can see that it, the user interface
comes
back up again.
Kind of get the best of both worlds, software and hardware switcher.
And change transitions and access all these powerful broadcast features in the product. Now, that's the same connection that the webcam. So the webcam video is coming through the USB. And if
it's
I run
really
Skype or Open Broadcast on this computer here, the video will come through
or
the
Zoom,
USB.
Or Jitsi.
But I'm also controlling through the same USB back to the switcher. Makes it super easy to use. Now, because I've opened up all the broadcast features with the ATEM software, it's got a lot more controls than the panel has. So you can see I can do transitions, which I'll select bars because I've only got one camera. Or what will I select? Yeah, looks like that. So you can see I can do transitions between video
T-bar.
Sources. I can change to a dip.
And color bars, by the way.
And I've got all the different palettes here.
Please don't use a diamond wipe. Just please don't.
And chroma keys and things. So you can see there's a lot of capability I've got in the switcher page. It opens up a lot of features that are sort of hidden in there. Now, I can also load media. If I go to the media page, I've got all the 20 still frames in here. So this is all the media. And I've got a graphic here with an alpha channel in it. So that graphic's now loading into media pool spot number one, and it's automatically outputting to the media player. So now that graphic is available as a video source inside the switcher, and its alpha channel has been converted into a key channel internally. So if I go down to turn off my upstream key and go to the downstream key, and I've got that media player coming in, now I can turn that graphic on. It'll overlay on top of the live video. And in fact, I can even fade it on and off, which is quite nice. And you can also tie it to a transition, so when I do my transition, it'll fade on and off with the next source.
This is
so
such
quite powerful.
A great thing.
So there's all kinds of hidden stuff in there like
if
that.
If you're doing video production at home,
pages let you load all the graphics in.
You know,
there's
in a
also
business,
you get access to the audio mixer in here in the Fairlight page. You've got all sorts of powerful.
It doesn't have
audio
professional audio in, unfortunately,
equal,
just a mini
equalization
jack for unbalanced
and, dynamics like limiter, a noise gate, all kinds of things like that. So if I go into the equalization, you can see I can move around and change the equalization curve. And every single input has this. I can go in and turn on compressors and limiters.
It's pretty cool.
It's really quite amazing how much power I have in the Fairlight page. And that full audio mix is built in. So the other thing, one of the last things I probably want to just summarize quickly, and it's going to matter for some of the things I'm going to show you in a second, is one of the things a lot of people don't understand is that the ATEM Mini also works as a program preview switcher. Now, this is the way big broadcast switches work. So at the moment, when you use this ATEM Mini, in fact, let me turn off the key so I can see the video source change. When you use ATEM Mini as standard, you just switch between the camera sources. I've only got one camera plugged in at the moment. And that's called a cut bus style switching. But I can change it to a program preview style switching, which lets you select the source and check it before you bring it on air. And that's much better when you're doing sort of high-end work and you want to make sure you don't make mistakes.
That's how we do
so
it.
So to change that, you just go into the settings. Oops, sorry, that's the wrong window. I got to go down to the ATEM utility.
If Grant's confused, imagine how I feel.
And I go down to here and see where it got a setting.
It takes some practice. Play with this before you start using it.
When I save that, what you'll notice is that I'll quit the setup utility. And you'll see that now when I select a source, it's changed the way the front panel behaves. What I've done is I've enabled number two, and if you set the preview out of the video output, you can see this. So now instead of switching the source immediately, I can actually decide which source I'd like, and then when I press the cut or auto button, then it does the switch.
So it's
let's do it as a
two-step
process.
Two,
so you can set up what you want to switch to first, then change it. So for instance, if you hit cut, it'll do a cut, and now it's moved to camera two. I'm back on camera one as what I've preset. I can go auto, and you can see it did a transition back to one. So the program preview way of switching is what all the top-end professional guys in broadcast use.
Unfortunately, these are way backordered. I suspect they're hard to get right now. Let me check.
ATEM Mini, you can see there's nothing about ATEM Mini that makes it a low-end switcher. It's extremely powerful, and it's really great value at only $295. I think that it's one of the reasons why it's been so well-received. You know, we didn't dumb it down and make a very simple switcher. We made a very powerful switcher, which by using the ATEM software control app to open all that up.
Yeah, it's back-ordered
now,
availability at B&H
so many features,
end of April.
We've noticed a lot of people
might be worth getting in line for this
using
one.
ATEM Mini on some pretty big, complicated jobs. Now, that's amazing because it shows how powerful it is. A little bit surprising, but it is pretty cool.
Very cool.
People are using it for seminars, concerts, even some outdoor sports, all kinds of things. You know, we thought people would sort of use fixed cameras mostly, but people are actually using camera operators where they're actually controlling the camera. So what we've done is to help this out, essentially what people are doing is they're using, specifically they're using Blackmagic Pocket Cinema cameras with ATEM Mini, and this is really interesting issue because we hadn't quite thought that that would be so popular.
I'm actually using it with that Canon.
So you can see I've got some
that we bought, the H200, and it works beautifully. And
now,
it gives a great shot.
I think
shot.
The reason why this is happening is a lot of people already have these Blackmagic Pocket Cinema cameras for production work. So when they're doing a live program, they're just using them with A10 Mini to do live production with them as well. Now, obviously, the benefits is it's amazing picture quality. I mean, the picture quality of there's a digital film camera, so they look incredible. They're also fantastic at low light. And they've got a reasonably big viewfinder compared to consumer cameras. Like, you can see the difference between the consumer camera here and the bigger viewfinder here. So they work a little bit like a studio camera.
$1,295.
However, there are some problems when using pocket cinema cameras for live production.
You could also use digital film cameras, an inexpensive point and shoot.
There are some limitations. Like, for example, you can't use the film gamma because the video looks flat. So you kind of need to use a 3D lookup table to make the video output look better, to make it look more like finished video. And it's a bit more complicated to set up. Also, the in-camera recording's nice, but you kind of, if you're doing multiple cameras, you kind of need to synchronize them so you can do some multicam editing, and that's not really something that's supported. Plus, it's sort of hard to control the cameras when you're working by yourself, so matching the cameras is a bit difficult. So we've been thinking about this, and we've developed a new software update for Pocket Cinema cameras. Now, it adds the studio camera features from our studio cameras into the Pocket Cinema cameras.
Interesting.
And it works with all the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K and the 6K models. There's also a software update for the A10 Mini to do camera control. Now, there's no SDI connection to the cameras, and our studio cameras work by sending the information from the switcher to the cameras via the SDI return feed, and there is none
serial
in this
digital
case.
Interface, which is what but we use with the TriCaster. We convert HDMI to SDI using a Blackmagic converter.
Has a data wire on the communication. So even though there's video coming down the HDMI to the switcher,
how much are those
there's also some
now,
communication
John,
going back
bucks,
to the cameras.
Right?
And we set all this up so we would possible to do this.
I can look.
So $250. We can actually get the A10
Mini, but they have micro converters that are $50 that are USB powered.
So gives us control.
Interesting.
Now we can change all the camera settings.
You really you want SDI, of course, because you want
tally. And also there's a DaVinci.
So it's HDMI to SDI.
DaVinci primary color correction in there as well.
Nice.
Now, if you look down at the user interface, you can see that there's actually a camera page that's appeared, and we've got the camera control stuff here.
Isn't that sweet?
Which is pretty cool. Now, what I'll do is I'll unplug this camera, and I'll plug in these cameras here, and I can show you how this all works. So let me just unplug this guy here.
Take away that crappy consumer-grade camcorder. Install
and I've got these cameras wired up into here.
Cinema cameras.
So I can plug those in.
So you get four HDMI inputs and two audio inputs via mini jack. Four is a lot. Four is enough. And, you could have, for me at home, I have a single, a wide shot, and the computer. That's only three.
Is that now we have the first thing that's most obvious is the tally lights. So let me show you the
tally lights.
The tally. Now, the camera is one thing that's worth noting. When the camera camera's plugged in, it detects that it's
for
talking
church,
to an A10 Mini.
This would be incredible.
And it switches the camera into studio mode automatically. And also, it'll actually set the video standard of the cameras, apart from the first camera in camera one, because the switcher takes camera one's video standard, and then the other cameras will then follow the switcher, so it automatically sets itself up. Now, let me show you the tally lights. You should be able to see over on the camera over there.
Look at that.
You can see the tally light changing. And because I'm using preview, what it means is as I step around and try, you can see the preview lights moving around so that the presenter can see which camera's about to go on air.
They're about to go live.
And then when I bring the camera on air, it switches across. And I can select the next camera, go cut, select the next one.
By the way, this is 4K production.
It's really quite powerful.
Although I don't think the A10
does 4K. If I do a transition,
4K,
both cameras
1080p.
Are on air for a short period of time. So you'll be able to see both tally lights go red and then it switches across. So obviously when you're doing program preview switching, the camera that was just on air is now armed for, is the preview camera for the next transition. So you can see really how powerful this is. And the presenters, it's just like a studio camera. The presenters now can see which camera is on. And also the other thing we've done on the back on the LCD, you can see that we've got a, if I bring camera one on air, you can see that.
A10 Mini does 1080p 60, 10-bit 422.
And that's independent of the other screen overlays.
I mean, for us, that'd be...
So that really
plenty.
Makes
for many,
it
most
much
people,
nicer if there's a camera operator to see what's going on.
But you've got 4K cameras.
The other option features you've got is kinda, obviously kinda control overkill. The iris. I've got camera one on air and I've got video out. It's on air. And so I can come into here and I can now adjust the iris.
Sweet.
I've got full iris control on the camera. And you can see the screen is adjusting.
That's really sweet.
So that's controlling the lens.
Especially now, because you could set up a studio that's isolated.
That. I've also got ISO settings. I can set the ISO.
The director
come up
could
as
sit
gain
in a separate booth and control the cameras and everything. The only thing you can't do is move them, but I'm sure they'll sell a PTZ
and then I can
head for this.
So he knows the light reduces.
For most broadcasts, you don't need to. You might have one in the pulpit, one in the congregation, one in the choir.
Because there's a DaVinci primary color corrector.
One on the altar.
Blue. I can go really red if I like. So it goes nuts. And also, this is a DaVinci primary color corrector. So I've got gamma, lift, gain. But if I click this button here, I actually get full color wheels, like very much like DaVinci Color.
Beatmaster saying you could zoom in on that 4K. It's a good point. Yeah. With 4K, you effectively have four 1080p
panels here as well.
Images, so you could go in a 4X zoom.
You've obviously got shadows, mids, and highlights like a normal color corrector, lift, gamma, and gain is a
if that's
color corrector
controllable. Let's see if it is.
So one thing about DaVinci is it's a YRGB color corrector. So you can even do the Y channel independently, the red, green, and blue channels. And that's how DaVinci works. Oops, I'm a little bit...
One of the things that's awesome about DaVinci is to give it away for free.
But you can bring up the Y channel independently.
It's great software.
Oops, I've gone way too far there. But you can see... Well, in fact, I'm doing black, which is not what I want to do. So maybe I can bring up the whites in the... See, I can sort of start to bring the whites up and they pop a bit and sort of pulls the whites out because that's the way DaVinci Resolve works. So the primary color corrector is actually the same between the two products. So that way you've got... If you're used to using DaVinci... You should be able to actually do some really creative looks in here, so it's really nice. Now, one of the other nice things about the camera controller is it doesn't lock out. On our bigger cameras, the switcher actually takes over the control of these settings in the cameras. But in the pocket camera situation, it doesn't lock out the camera settings. You should be able to change settings locally, and then when you change something here, it'll override that. So it helps you to have retain a bit of control on the camera. Now, when you're working as a studio camera...
Yeah, I think this is also what Father Robert's using as well in his Vatican studio.
Yeah, 4K in the case of these cameras.
So four inputs is enough for you. I remember the computer is one of them if you want to show a computer screen.
I think with these new features, you really get a very professional sort of television studio. I mean, you've got full camera control. You can control all the cameras here. And you can adjust them all.
I'm connecting that Canon and a Sony A7.
Really
if I can figure out the way to keep that powered, I might have to order one of those battery adapters.
The presenters can see when they're on air with the tally light.
Although it has
you
a power
wonderful color
jack,
graded
so I might be
digital
able to do
film
that.
Images. I mean, you can really spend a lot of time getting the hang of.
And honestly,
really
A7 is much more expensive than these Blackmagic Cinemas. And
sort of
probably at least as good. The only thing you're missing
really
is
I mean, it's,
the control from the ATEM to
the
camera, which is pretty cool.
Having all that control, I think, is giving you access to getting beautiful quality video out, but you're still able to record the Blackmagic RAW files internally and color grade them later. So the new ATEM Switches 8.2 software update, which is what you need for the ATEM Mini, that'll be available today as a free update.
Nice.
It'll support all the ATEM Mini switches that have shipped up until now.
That's one of the
nice
things.
And the new Blackmagic Camera 6.9 update is also a free update, and that's available today as well. And that'll support all the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 4K and Blackmagic Pocket Cinema Camera 6K models that we've shipped up until now. Now, that's not all we have today. We've also I want to introduce a new model of ATEM Mini, and it's called ATEM Mini Pro.
Oh, crap.
Now, the first thing to know about this new model is that it's got the exact same features of the ATEM Mini model.
Eight
it also
inputs.
Has a few new and very powerful features. So let's have a look.
Just got the ATEM Mini.
And you can see, here it is here.
All right, still got four.
So looks, there it is.
On the
as
front,
you can see,
it looks
it's very
same.
Similar to the current model. It's got a few more buttons on the front. So I can bring it up and have a look there. So you can see the front. And you can also see the rear. It's got the exact same connectors on the rear panel. So if you can get a shot of it.
Okay, I don't feel too bad now.
So it's got the same connections as the ATEM Mini. So it's really easy to set up.
I will vouch for that.
But there is some extra controls on the front panel, as you can see around here. So look, what I'll do is I'll plug it in. So I'll unplug the ATEM Mini. I'll plug in the ATEM Mini Pro. So the first thing I'll do is plug some power in.
It's nice. It has a locking power adapter, the exact opposite of the MagSafe Alex loves. But you want that in something like this. You don't want it to fall out in the middle of a production. I do really appreciate the locking power adapters.
I'll put him there. And I'll plug in some video. I'll plug our cameras in. So it's all the same.
There's no listing yet for a Mini Pro on B&H.
Connectors lined up here. I'll put this one aside. So we can look, put him there so you can see it. We can get a shot of the model there. Now, really the biggest feature of this model, I'll just lock down the power so I don't pull it out by accidentally. Now, really the biggest, most sort of important feature in this new model is it's got built-in hardware. It's got a built-in hardware streaming engine. Now, this is a big deal because the hardware has been specifically designed for streaming. Now, one of the problems with using streaming software is, depending on the computer, streaming software can drop frames. You know, it's really, encoding a stream is a pretty complex task for a computer to do. It needs a lot of power to do it well. But now we have that hardware built in. It's specifically designed to generate a stream.
So a little mini elemental inside
images, and you don't get
and where does
frames.
It stream to is the question.
And also, you don't need to convert the webcam compression to the streaming compression.
That's
so you don't get like double generation of video compression. You know, the program output, the first time the video is compressed is in the hardware encoder, which is built into the Atomini Pro.
This is very
You get the streaming, the video output of the program output is directly converted to the streaming codec. Now,
They probably realize that most of the uses of the Atomini is for streaming.
You don't need any extra software running on the computer, which is nice because the computer can just use the software control. You don't need to have an extra app running in the background that's doing all that streaming. And one of the problems with streaming software is it's got a lot of complex settings. We've made it a much, much simpler process. You know, Atomini Pro makes streaming really simple. So, look, let me show you how it works. Now, one of the things that
churches asking all the time, how can we do this? This makes it very easy for a church, a group of any kind, a school, to stream their classes, stream their services.
Now, the advantage to this is that you can actually do your control and the streaming through the USB signal. So let's plug that in. I've got an Ethernet cable here, and I'll replace the USB with this. So, and then
all
what we can do is we can use
Ethernet
the computer
too for control.
To share its internet, so we can use a mobile streaming. Now I've got this computer set up to have Wi-Fi to connect to the internet, and I've set the sharing settings to allow the Ethernet to share via the Wi-Fi. So the Wi-Fi is doing the internet connection, and then the Ethernet connection
that's
I'll plug in here has now got the internet to the Atomini.
I'd much prefer to connect this directly to the internet. I wonder if you can, though.
So I'll get rid of the USB. And I'll convert, plug this in here. I'll plug in the Ethernet. There it is there. Now, it's just come up. Normally, probably because we practiced this before, normally you just go up to the connection menu up there and click connect and it'll come up. And in fact, I'll do that so you can see how that works. So we've added also another change here where it can find the switches on the network. In this case, it's directly connected. You can just click the Atomini Pro and then connect.
Nice.
It's already connected. I unselected. So you can see now what I've got is I've got the Atomini Pro working through the control through the Ethernet, and you can see all the control works fine.
This is what you get if you go to NAB on the first presentation of the first day.
That all works fine.
Where'd they get that?
I can click the pages. I can go to the camera page and do some control.
Look at those.
That's my on-air camera.
Look at those tapes.
So it's quite powerful. Now,
the switcher
can now see the computer, and the ATEM software control can control it. So that's all working fine. But the switcher can also see the internet,
right.
So we can use it for the live mobile stream, because now it's doing both. Now, what I'll do is I'll show you where that's set up, because it's a little tricky. But if you go into the system preferences and you go to
Anthony
the sharing
Nielsen's
folder,
in our chat room.
You can see
so we have
sharing selected here.
An old
you can see
ATEM
that I'm sharing
here.
A Wi-Fi, and that's connected
via
this little
and we output directly.
Brand here.
Okay,
so that's all you
internet.
Need to do. You just need to go into the internet sharing. And that's on a Mac. On Windows, it's a different setting, but you can do the similar thing on Windows. And now I've got the internet on
I'm
this.
Sure, there's
going
a way
out
to connect
the Wi-Fi.
Directly. There's got to be right.
Now, what that also means is that we can set up to do streaming. So what I'll do is I'll go and select YouTube. So what I do is I go into the output palette here, and you can see I've got a live stream palette. You see here it is here. Now I'll select YouTube.
We have,
and there
we
it
have
is there.
Gear I didn't even
now,
know
what
about.
I need to do is I need
we
to get a streaming key from the YouTube service.
Not a
so
mini.
If I go down to, now I've got that page set up just open here. This is the streaming page to set up a stream on YouTube. If I go down to here, I can get my streaming key, and I can copy that out, and I can go across and paste that streaming key in there. I can also set the quality. I'll use streaming high. And that's it. Now, you want to set the quality high enough so you don't get pixels. And as you can see, I just selected streaming high. Because you want to make sure you get enough bandwidth to handle Particularly if you're doing higher frame rates, you'll obviously need more data.
What I do now with the A10 Mini is I'll start a YouTube Live channel, put the code in,
and the interface converters will actually take care of it. So if you had like a gaming console that was doing a high frame rate, you could just switch the A10 Mini Pro down to like 24 frame or something like that to allow the data rate to go lower. And then it's easy to stream, but your input converter would just
This is much better if you have to go through a computer for the internet.
Now, what I'll do is I'll go into the streaming here, and I've copied the key in. So what I'll do is now I can pretty much just start streaming by going on air. Now, there's a button on the front panel here, and I can actually make it go on air just by pushing on air. Now, what that'll do is now it's live broadcasting to YouTube. Now, it'll take about 30 seconds or so before it comes through. So I'll just come in here and I'll just reset
Android for controlling the A10
page. And I think it's
looking pretty
good there.
It's a pretty straightforward API.
And it's all looking like it's running. So
you could do it from an iPad,
though,
of course, and an iPhone as well as a Mac or Windows.
It'll take a little bit before it sort of comes through and cleans up.
Blackmagic's
pretty Apple-centric. So you can set the streaming from the front panel like I just did here, or you can also do it from the palette here as well.
Look at that.
Now, the other thing we've got is, you know, when you're live switching, you're not actually going to have the streaming palette open. You're going to have transition palettes or care palettes open. So you can also get a status of the streaming. So if you click on this display status down here, it'll show you the status information down the bottom of the page. Now, what that'll do is it'll show you a few bits of detail.
A lot
like obviously
of Twitch streamers and so forth would love to
But it also shows you the data rate that's needed for the stream.
You can also use something
that's
as
really
simple
and it live
as the Elgato, based on the video called, a Streamcast.
So different types of video sometimes will create different data
just
rates.
Buttons.
And it's
this is really much more sophisticated,
menu,
I think.
That you said as well.
I think a lot of OBS streamers,
though,
use
the data rate's
Streamcast.
Important because that's how much data you'll need from your ISP to make sure you've got enough internet bandwidth to get your stream out. So it'll be good to know, you know, you can do some experiments with that and make sure you've got a lot of enough data rate. You can obviously drop the data rate down lower if you're having some issues with getting data, particularly if you're mobile streaming and maybe you're tethering a phone or something like that. Now, the other bit of information down here is also the cache. Now, it just says OK at the moment, but it can also be a percentage. A10 Mini Pro has got a bit of memory in it, and what it tries to do is keep the stream going out. Now, if there's an interruption to the internet or some congestion, it'll cache and then try to get it through as the internet comes back online. So you'll often see the sometimes, well, you won't hopefully see it, but you can see if it's getting behind, you'll see that this percentage goes up. And
it's
that means
Australian
it's
for
having
cash.
Trouble getting the data out. Mostly you'll see that if someone trips over your internet cable and knocks the internet out, and then you might see that. Now, if we go to the YouTube page, we can see that we've got the live stream coming through here. Nice. Our condition is good. And if I change one of the sources, you'll see the source change here, and that's your stream. Now, there's obviously a little bit of a delay on this because it takes a while for the stream to get through and then come back through via
this
YouTube.
This is the John Smith video stream, apparently.
That's essentially what protects you from choppy internet data rates because, you know, the YouTube is also caching some of the data for you. And as you do different transitions to different cameras, you can see that program will come out and it'll change on the video up there. Yeah, there it goes there. So you can see it's 10 seconds or so. It's not too long. Now, you know, it's funny, even if you just used A10 Mini Pro for a streaming interface, it'd probably be worth it just for that.
But there's
now,
more?
One thing that's also worth thinking about, we've also thought about high-end broadcast engineers. Now, obviously you can see in here, it's pretty simple to get the streaming going. But if you're using like a high-end work and you need to tweak the settings, you can get in and customize an XML file. What we've done is we've put all the settings that are in here in an XML file, and you can go in there and you can customize that XML file and get through. And there's details on how to do that in the manual. So if you're technically minded, you can just go in the XML file and you can
That's
tweak the settings.
Nice.
You could even add other services. You could add a custom streaming service in that XML file, and it'll appear in the menus here and populate.
Nice.
That's like you could even run, like if you were like using you could remove setting services from the XML file if you wanted. So say you're setting up a community group with an A10 Mini Pro, and you didn't want them really changing the settings, you could take out the settings in the XML file you don't want. So
nice.
That's in the user folder for the application preferences, and you can see how that works. In the manual, it's got some details on it. Now, one of the other features we've got in here is we thought, well, with a powerful streaming engine built in, we thought it'd be good if we could actually record the stream as well.
Wouldn't
so what we did
nice.
Is we added the same software that runs on our HyperX Studio Mini into the A10 Mini Pro. So this lets us record video direct to an external USB device, USB disk. Now, this is an exact duplicate of the video you're streaming.
That's fantastic.
The video is encoded with H.264 format with an AAC codec, which means you can upload the file to YouTube or any other streaming service later. Now, this kind of protects against an internet outage. Like, say you're doing a live stream and the internet went out. Well, if you're recording the stream, then right. you've always got something for upload later. Now, you've also got a choice between different data rates. As you can see in the menu there, I've got the Hyperdeck data rates, which are really high quality, almost they're broadcast quality data rates. And there's also some lower quality streaming data rates as well, which are pretty good, but they're more designed to allow you to get through
why they
lower
don't use,
internet speeds.
There's
a button for the recording on the front panel as well. You can see it right there.
H.265. I'm surprised they don't.
And there's also a disk status light just above it. So you get the status of the disk. Now, the disk status light will show green when the disk is ready to record. It'll show red when you are recording. It also blinks slowly if your disk is about to become full. So that's very much like a Hyperdeck. Because the data is recorded in H.264, it's actually low enough so you can use a mechanical hard disk or a USB thumb drive or something like that. Now, to show you this, what I've got, I've actually got a mechanical hard disk here. If I plug in
Anthony wants
this here, this is
wants everything
disk.
To be NDI. Now, that's unfortunately, Blackmagic's never going to support it because it's a new tech format.
Mechanical disks are a little bit slower
I'd
to get going because they've got to spin up. But these are incredibly low cost, these disks. And you can record for hours without it getting expensive. So what's really nice about that is if you could record every job you do, and that'll mean you can archive everything you've ever done. So you can see the lights come up green there. And if I hit record,
nice.
Now I'm recording the disk.
Nice.
Now, so you can see very clearly when you're recording. And it also supports the disk being accidentally unplugged. So I'm recording currently on that. Now, if I just yank this cable out, which is really what you normally wouldn't do, but I can do it. So what I'll do is, instead of stopping the recording gracefully, I'll just yank the cable out like that.
Oh.
And now if I plug that disk into the computer, I can mount that disk and I can show you the file. So again, it's a mechanical disk, so it takes a moment to spin up. There it is.
You didn't eject me first.
I think which file was the one we just created?
Now it's doing that.
There it is there. So you can see it's very
That's
fast.
Pretty cool.
It's a very fast file. It's very easy to... You can use it for... Yeah, it's really fast file. It's got that icon preview. I don't like icon previews. They're confusing. So you can see that the files are very fast to shuttle. So this is great if you want to edit the files later because it works just like a normal editing video file. Now, the other thing you can do is I can record to an SD card. A thumb drive. You know, really anything works. So if I plug this in, even a thumb drive's fine. I can plug that in there. And
it's a Type-C
you can see that it's come up. There it goes. Now I can hit record. There it is. You can connect. Now, one thing I'll show you just before I move on to the next point is that in the record stream palette, you can see there I am there. I've got a similar palette. I've also got display status there. So you can see that I'm now the time I've got and the recording. But as you can see here, you can actually connect multiple disks via USB hub or a multi-dock, multi-dock over there. So these settings for this recording are in the ATEM software control. Now the
you're watching our live stream of
USB
a
port on the
Blackmagic presentation,
free,
obviously a presentation originally intended for NAB.
So this gives us
but since there's no NAB this really year, they decided to stream it live. And we're glad they did. So far, Grant's shown us the ATEM Mini and a new product, the ATEM Mini Pro, which is similar but has built-in streaming. If we want to thank our sponsors at LastPass, who gave us carte blanche. They said, we love the live streams of events, of news. We want to sponsor each and every one of them in the year 2020. And so that means we can do things like this, bring you these Blackmagic streams. Thanks to LastPass. Thank you, LastPass. We really appreciate it. And a reminder, if you're preparing that remote workforce to get out there, to go home, to take your vital company assets home, to log into your bank accounts and your databases and your servers and your cloud from home, you really need LastPass. Transitioning to a work-from-home environment is not only complicated, but frankly, scary. But LastPass can help you make the transition without decreasing security. First of all, there's a lot more phishing out there, especially COVID-19-associated phishing and spear phishing attacks. And these bad guys are going to see your employees at home as a ripe target. LastPass reduces the risk of these schemes because it doesn't autofill passwords on suspicious websites. And your employees don't even have the passwords in most cases, so they can't by themselves manually fill it in. And if remote employees are accessing your company's VPN, LastPass adds an additional and a much welcome layer of security right to the VPN through things like biometric multi-factor. So your VPN may not support it, but LastPass does, and that's fantastic. Regardless of where or how your employees need access, LastPass ensures your employees have secure access to their work applications with single sign-on. Employees love that because they don't need passwords at all. They just need their phone to say, yes, that's me, and boom, they're in. Of course, the best password, best-in-class password management is the one I've been using for a decade now. And I use it at home. We have it here at work. We use LastPass Enterprise at work. They have an offline mode. Nowadays, work at home, you can't guarantee a full-time access to the internet, but LastPass will still work offline, both for password management and for multi-factor authentication. So if the internet's spotty, LastPass isn't. Seamless collaboration with coworkers, that's always essential, and LastPass allows remote employees to securely share passwords across teams, stay on top of critical projects without risking the keys to the kingdom. We use folders for sharing. Every department has its own folder. Makes it very easy to get somebody up to speed. You don't have to, you know, manually share each password. They just get access to the folder, and it really helps segregate the information. So only the people who need to know get that information. Great for admins, too, by the way. I mean, we've been talking about the end user experience, which is incredible, but admins love it because they have 100-plus policies they can enforce. We enforce, for instance, two-factor authentication for all of our employees. They got to use it. No choice. You have minimum master password requirements, all sorts of things. LastPass always gives you information about who's accessing your resources, where they are located and all of that. And that's really important as you disperse your workforce but want to keep tight control over your resources. You're going to love LastPass. Increased security doesn't have to be complex. LastPass makes it easy. Start your journey today. Visit LastPass.com/twit. Find out what they can do for you in this difficult time. And thank you so much, LastPass, for your support of everything we do here at Twit, especially our Twit news feeds, because having the flexibility, as we did, we learned about this event a couple of days ago. I said, you know what? I love what Blackmagic's doing. Let's cover it. And LastPass said, hey, of course, you got it. We will sponsor it. So we really appreciate it. And we also appreciate you. Thank you all for being here.
So you can see I've started here. I can do it from the front panel. So it's pretty pretty easy. And I've got all my status down here. So if I go to other palettes and I'm doing some transitions, I've still got the status down the bottom here, and I can still see what's going on with the streaming and recording, which I'm doing both at the moment. And you can start and stop those independently of each other. Now, what I'll do is I'll show you some multiple disk stuff. I'll go back to the output palette. In fact, I'll close the streaming palette.
Just he hasn't mentioned price or availability for the A10 Mini Pro.
Multiple disks.
Looks like the
now,
biggest
that, what I'll do is I'll
shift, of course, is internal encoding.
And I'll unplug the
to H.264,
thumb drive, which is one of those thumb drives that comes apart in pieces. So that's awesome. I've got a collection of bits. So what I'll do is I'll unplug the leave my mechanical disk aside, and I've got a multi-dock here. So you can see a multi. Now, basically, Blackmagic multi-dock allows you to plug four disks on the single USB connection. So it's really very much like it's basically, and it's really just for me to show you a good way of plugging in multiple disks. You don't need to use one of these, of course.
I wouldn't think so.
It's a great way of showing four disks on a single USB connection, because that's essentially all it really is. It's got a single USB on the back. And, well, in fact, there's two USBs. You can have it groups of two groups of two if you like. But I can plug this in.
It is, CodeMorph is asking, is it a compelling feature? And I'm sure this won't be too much more expensive than the Mini. But the idea is most people are using the Mini to do live streams. So why not put the encoder in the Mini? It also gives you, as you can see, the benefit that you can take this now encoded video, this H.264 video, and output it to a USB drive. It's small enough to easily record via USB.
There it is. And you can see it's come up, the disk screen.
And, of course, most people are using OBS or something like OBS, which will let them encode on the computer.
Now,
And
what I can do is plug in a second disk.
I think,
and it'll show you
with a fast enough computer, it's not an issue.
Scenario, right? You might be recording a performance. You got one disk in, that's recording. Now I need to be able to, that disk's getting full. I might be able to swap over. So what I'll do is I'll plug.
It's convenient to be able to stream right from the.
In fact, I'll plug all the disks in. Why not?
This is not.
Yeah, so now I've got four disks, and they'll all come up, and they're all on the single USB chain. So what I'll be able to do is come over here to this menu, and you see there's a second disk menu here. Now, what I can do is I can select which disk I like. So I could maybe pick that disk, and I can switch disks while it's recording. So if I click this switch disk button, you should see that the disk changes.
That's interesting. I mean, one of the nice things Blackmagic does is it integrates with all their existing hardware. I love how you can control the camera, for instance, from the ATEM software interface, things like that.
So that means you can swap disks while you're recording. Now, the other thing is you can do is you can also swap disks by pressing and holding the record button. So if you watch the palette here and you hold the record button down, it'll switch over. That's something HyperDecks do. It's the same method for swapping disks that works on all the HyperDeck recorders. And if I do it again, just swapped. So you can see the front panel of the multi-dock. If you get a shot of that, when I hold it down, you see it switch over. You'll see that the indicators change.
So this is some market that I don't really fully understand.
So there is a switch button, but you don't necessarily need to use it. You can actually swap disks from the front.
I don't know why you would be doing that.
So you've got that dedicated switch button, because that's fast, obviously. Holding the button down takes a second to switch, whereas that's quicker. And that can be really useful, because if you switch disks, the disk that just came offline now is the one you can actually give to an editor, and you can start editing up something that might have happened in your performance. So if you're doing a sporting event, often they'll have a package at the end of the program.
The problem is recording these is H.264. It's not recording
get it to an editor. You can
ProRes
use that content
like that
to edit something up quickly, and then when the show finishes, you've actually got content from the show, because you can swap the disks around. So you can see, as we swap disks, we can move around and use any slot we like, swapping the disks, changing and recording between slots. So I'm using a Blackmagic multi-dock here. But, if you had more than one disk on a USB hub, it would work exactly the same. There's also, as you can see, the status settings there as well. So you can see that disk changing stuff is happening down between the one and the two. You can see which side you're on. And there's some information there, like the HyperDecks have. You can see what you're doing. Now, because, of course, if you're live switching a program, you'd have other palettes open most of the time. So you really don't want the recording or the streaming palette open. Now, what's really exciting is, because we're using Blackmagic Pocket Cinema cameras, we can record in the cameras to Blackmagic RAW files.
Ah.
So this means that you can record in the cameras.
You can do ISOs in the cameras.
So you can edit the files later as a multicam edit.
Yeah.
Like the new sync bin and the DaVinci Resolve cut page is perfect for this.
You no longer need
the
switcher.
If you really just want all your camera files to be synchronized, they need to have the same time code. And this is an important feature.
Oh, it has time code?
So you'll notice that there's a setting here that says recording all the cameras. So actually, what I'll do first, actually, I'll show you. We also have a new time code generator, which is a critical part of this. So I really probably should show you that first. So the timecode palette, if I go down to here, there's a timecode generator, and that's the timecode that's being generated.
Now, I don't even think our TriCasters do timecode.
Time of day, that's the wrong time. I think the computer must be the wrong time.
The Pix does,
But it also can do preset timecode.
That's always been one of the wraps on the TriCasters. You don't get timecode.
So on the ATEM Mini HDMI video out, that also has timecode, and that uses this timecode generator. The disc recordings will use the same time code.
It's one of the reasons that I have to have that clock on the
cameras,
on the shelf behind me so that Kevin King can edit the video.
And then used on the
he knows where in the video he is. Carson will actually write down actual times.
When you edit the files from all the cameras,
it doesn't look like SMPTE. It looked like just time, right?
All I need to do is select that there. And then when I record, it'll trigger the start recording all the cameras.
So that's really key.
And what you see is a orange tally light on all the cameras.
You need to sync
to tell you that they're on air.
Yeah, that's
great. But when you switch around, you still see the red tally light is when it's on air, but you can see that the orange light indicates that all the cameras are actually recording. All those cameras just went into recording when I pressed record here. And if I stop, they'll stop and go back to all the lights go off, except the one camera that's on air.
That's nice.
And then when I record again, you see they've all gone orange.
These cameras, the 4K versions are $1,295. You don't need more than the 4K because the ATEM only does 1080p.
You can make sure that all your cameras
that's not hugely expensive. It's, just sort of like consumer-grade camcorders. And having this software control of them is fantastic.
You can still record an external flash drive on all these cameras as well. So you want really long recordings, you can put flash drives on the cameras. Now, the recording will be in sync. the Blackmagic RAW files and the cameras means, and this is really an important point, I think this is the bit that makes this exciting, is you're recording synchronized Blackmagic RAW files in the cameras, which means you can use a HD switcher for a live stream,
right?
But then edit incredible quality color graded Ultra HD master files later.
Yeah.
Because you can go back to the Blackmagic RAW files. Remember, the Blackmagic RAW files are in film gamma. So even though your camera output is a graded video image coming out because you've used the DaVinci Resolve color grader in the cameras, the file itself is actually still original film gamma, and it's, you know, the Blackmagic RAW file, which means the output is video of the cameras. You can use it for live switching and streaming, but the files won't have those color grades burned in.
That's cool.
You know, they'll stay digital film files.
That's really cool.
In wide dynamic range, film gamma, so a colorist can grade them later. So that's perfect for DaVinci Resolve, as you can edit them all in the sync bin.
So you could stream a relatively low-quality version of this, but record a high-quality version
live productions for later editing. Because, you know, we're going to be really excited to see what people do
with
this.
Nice if it saved an EDL from the live switching, see?
Like, you're able to literally do, like, a 4K edit on using a HD switcher. So it's pretty interesting. It's quite exciting. So it's also worth remembering that on this model in the ATmini Pro,
make a
6K
as well.
You still use it for a webcam
cinema.
Out because it works just like the ATmini model. So that's not all it has. The last big feature I want to talk about with ATmini Pro is a new multi-view on the video output.
They actually need to color grade this.
On the front
this
panel,
stream
Pro has a new video output selection.
This is clearly not color graded.
Now what
it's
these
very desaturated.
Do is change the source to the video out on the ATmini Pro. Now, the whole time we've been looking at this, we've been looking at the program out, which is selected down here. But we can also change to any of the camera sources as
Hands
well.
Hands on Tech 71 so has a review the of the. I didn't even know we had a review of it, of the 6K Blackmagic Pocket Cinema
and
camera.
You can see I'm doing transitions. But sometimes if you're looping a computer through the ATmini,
I think we sent it back too fast, Anthony.
You'll want to use a dedicated video input to come out. So a good example is you might have a slideshow that you normally connect into your projector. But you want to get access to that slideshow because it actually looks pretty cool if you have it digitally in the switcher as one of the sources. You know, if you're doing an education video and the presenter, you know, the lecturer's
got
a camera or two on them, but they've also got slides. What you want to do is you want to feed their output into the switcher, and then the video output you want to be dedicated to, say, one of the sources. So say, for example, we had the slideshow connected to camera one, you'd want to set camera one as the output. And then that output can go to the projector. So everyone that the lecturer is presenting to just sees their slideshow, but you've got access to the slides in the switcher as a video source. Now, if I'm changing transitions now, you can see that doesn't change. That's a dedicated video out, and I can switch between different video sources coming into the switcher. And that's not the program out. That's, you know, that just stays on that camera. So, you know, you can see that's a really nice feature, and you can do that right from the front panel. It's got a little mini switcher and a switcher. But let's go to the multi-view. There it is there. Now you can see what the multi-view looks like. And as you can see, it's got all the cameras, and it's got our program and our preview.
If we were
going to
upgrade from our 720p production, we'd probably do it with Blackmagic Pocket Cinema
cameras. And that'll change the HTML output that multi-view. Now you can see there's a program output on the top right-hand side, and that's the stream being recorded.
Something like it. Blackmagic.
So the program view there is that's
really
the stream going out.
Cameras.
Now the great advantage of using the program preview style switching, as you can see on the left-hand side, is that that's the preview. And I don't have this set up to program preview switching. I could change it, but I'll just mention it because we saw it before. But one of the things about having the preview view dedicated there is that, you know, the green view is the one that's on the preview source. So you can see what's on air, but simultaneously you can see what you're about to put on air. And that really helps reduce errors because when you can see what you're going to select before you select it, you got a chance to really confirm that's the source you want, and then you trigger with the card or the video, the auto buttons. That's why professionals in broadcast use program preview style switching. So you can see how the preview works as we did before. Now, if you're switching yourself while you're presenting, you'd probably want to just keep using the cut bus, which I'm doing here. And in that case, you'll just look at the program view because you really just want to press one button at once. When you're doing program preview switching, you got to select the source, then push, you know, the transition. But you don't often really want to do that. If you're switching yourself, and that's very common with ATmini, where the presenter is actually also doing a switch off the side and people can't see it, they're just using it by feel. Now, you've also, if you look across the middle of the multi-view, you can see we've got all the view inputs are visible across the multi-view, right across the middle there. Seeing as I've got camera one, camera two, camera three, and camera four.
I have two monitors in front of me, I can see preview.
You can also, in the settings, you can turn on audio meters for these. I don't actually have any audio meters turned on at the moment. It's not as important on ATmini Pro, because you'll see in a minute, but each view can have an audio meter, and you can have custom labels. Those labels can be customized. And that's done in the switcher settings. So, you know, you can go into the switcher settings and
almost
you can change
certainly you don't
like,
want to use their audio
standard in there. Actually,
we certainly don't use the TriCaster mixer.
You can do all that
audio
through here, and you can also set up the multi view over here, and you can turn
it's
on audio meters
to
and
have
like
it,
that.
But
see, there you go. There, so I've turned on the audio meter. So there it is. There. Now, the bottom left hand side, and what I'll do is I'll go back into the media player,
I guess
and I'll load
using
that.
Using them for the streamer, you'd have to use their audio, there, wouldn't you?
I've got that is my media player.
That's a drawback.
I can see the media player in the bottom left-hand view. So you've also got a visible of all four cameras and your graphic that you've got loaded as well. And that's really
this.
Super useful.
You have to get the lens too, don't you?
Now, this graphic had an alpha channel in it, so it'll overlay on top of video.
I think it's
you can see the background's just black.
Micro Four Thirds,
now,
right?
One of the most interesting things about ATEM Mini Pro is, and one of the most important uses for the multi-view, is when you're streaming and recording, you've got streaming and recording and audio mixer status in the multi-view as different views. You know, when you're busy switching, particularly if you're doing the job by yourself and you've got some fixed cameras, you really need to know what you're recording and your live stream status is all okay.
Yeah,
you know, like, you know, if it's okay,
so
it's still running without any problems. You can see that in the
expensive.
In the,
you might even have some,
ATEM
as I do.
Software control, but you've also got views in the multi-view, and there's a bit more information in there. So we've got dedicated views for each one of these functions. Now, you know, this is important. Like, if you've got 10,000 people watching your live stream, you really want to know you're on air and your streaming's okay. You know, so you can see the status at the bottom of you, the bottom left, sort of left of center one down the bottom there. You can see the record status. Sorry, the right of center is the record status. The left of center is the streaming status there. Now, you can see the information in there is also the same information that's on the display status down the bottom there. But you've got some much bigger indicators. So I can stop and start recording, for example. And you can see it stop and start. You can also see the these big disk status indicators and really help you stay aware of what the state of your disk is, so how much space you've got left. And also, if I do this switch, you'll see it switch across.
If this COVID quarantine continues, I think you're going to see more and more people using this for weddings, funerals, church services, schools. There's
fantastic.
A huge market for this.
And they really help
relatively easy video production.
They really keep you aware of what's going on with your disk management.
Live streaming really video production.
Now, you can also see the volume name on the bottom there, and these are just called disk 1 and disk 3. There's time remaining and the space remaining. The just below the time remaining is the space remaining, so you see how much disk space is there. Now, the streaming palette shows when you're on air. It shows the cache, which we talked about before, and the data rate's big as well. So you can see it's 8.21 megabit a second there is what we need. And when you start streaming, you can see there's a big status on air indicator that shows you just very clearly what's going on. Now, the last view on the right-hand side is an interesting one. It's the audio mixer status. You can actually see all the pocket cameras coming in, all picking up my audio. So when I'm making noise, you can see all the audio inputs. Now, these turn on and off with the channel indicators. So you can see them turn on and off there. I'm changing one. I'll put it back onto audio follow video. But
it's
you can
hard
see
to
the,
take something
the
with
audio
mini jack
off,
inputs
the
for the microphone seriously as an audio mixer.
Dynamic effects you might have added. So if you go into the audio mixer, I can go into the Fairlight page in the ATEM software control.
Maybe that's just
and
my
add some
prejudice.
EQ, and you can see it actually the status comes up there. So you can see all the audio meters. The actual just one thing that's worth mentioning before I go to the Fairlight page, the microphone inputs are also there as well. But at the moment they're turned off. If I turn them on, you can see they highlight as well. But I've got no microphones plugged in. So let me go to the Fairlight page.
And I guess you are getting audio from
or
the
audio,
cameras,
it's actually
right?
called in here, sorry. It is a Fairlight audio mixer, but it's the audio page. I'm getting confused with DaVinci. So it's been a long month. So as I've got in here, I can go
tell
in here
me about
and set,
it, Grant.
Say if I set some EQ, do some wacky EQ, you can see that the EQ indicators come up on the status for camera one because that's the one I'm adjusting. And I'll also put on the compressor as well. And now you can see that the dynamics, that means DN means dynamic. So you can see I've got some audio processing applied. And so here I am busy doing a job and I've got transitions that I'm working on.
You could have good camera,
you know,
good shotgun mics on the cameras and use those instead.
The audio input of the,
does take those as audio
of the
as well.
ATEM Mini Pro. And that's really good because it means you don't need to put audio meters over the top of the other camera views. Even though you can still do that, you don't have to do that. And as you adjust levels, you can also see the levels adjust as well. So if I go...
It'll also do something cool. If you have mics on all the cameras, it'll follow, the mic audio will follow camera switching.
So I can even tell the audio level that I'm set.
That's pretty cool.
I'll run that gain up a bit so you can see that meter gets higher So now it's a bit higher. Well, actually, the camera's in different positions.
Which means you can have audio from your computer, too.
So you can see that the 18 Mini Pro MultiView has got a lot more features than just monitoring all your cameras. Yeah, it's got all the status information for what's going on with recording and streaming and everything like that. Yeah, we think it's going to be very useful for more complex
if your camera is a pro-grade camera and has XLRs, many do. Anthony's pointing out you could put your real microphones into that. And then take the camera audio.
Switching, because it's just all where. And you know, you've always got this HM software control, but it's more of a off the side thing. You don't have to kind of be looking at that, but you're looking at your cameras. You've got it all there on one display with enough information to know that everything's working okay. And I'm still streaming from before. I've been streaming for 32 minutes. There you go. Now, the 18 Mini Pro will retail for $595.
That's not too bad.
And we
bad.
Started production today, so it should be available very soon.
$200
Although
there's
obviously been some problems with so many flights cancelled. Getting things through has been a little bit tricky, but we're getting there. As you can see, there's the slide with the price.
Or 300. Did he say 595?
This new model will be a really nice complement to the original 18 Mini.
Yeah, and 300 more.
You can really choose the model you need based on the type of work you're doing.
I don't know.
Whether you need all the capability here or not. Now... So that should be very exciting. I can't wait to see what people do with the new 18 Mini Pro. Now, the last thing I wanted to really talk about, well, actually, I've got two more things to talk about, but the last update I've got is new HyperDeck Studio Mini update. Now, HyperDeck Studio Mini is really popular, and it's even a great clip player for the 18 Mini.
Do we own one of these?
Here. Here it is here.
Already?
You see, it's a tiny little HyperDeck. In fact, the... update for this and the 18 Mini Pro, it's actually running the same codec and same software. You can see on the back, you've got a HDMI.
John says he'll buy one if you want me to.
I'll put it on here so you can see it.
So this is a recorder.
Now, the new software, it's a big update. I mean, this is a big update we've done for this. We've got a lot of them out there, so we really wanted to do something to upgrade it and add some new features and basically a big collection of stuff that people have needed. It's almost like a whole new HyperDeck Studio Mini, actually, this software. It's a big one. Now, one of the biggest things we've done, we've got longer file recordings but in a single file. So now you can record at least 3 hours, depending on the frame rate, at least 3 hours before it spawns off another file. Before it was about an hour, I think. If you record it for more than an hour, it would create another file. Now it's over 3 hours before it does a second file, which is very useful.
We've also got a whole new HDMI. I don't know what the updated cost
is. It's a better quality codec for the same data rate, so it really adds a lot of higher quality, for the same data rate. Which is fantastic for editing use. If you're taking those H.264s off to an editing system, they're really some of the higher quality ones are really post-production quality or broadcast quality. Now, the big thing, though, is for broadcasters, it's true interlaced support. We've added true interlaced support in the H.264 files when you're recording on this. So you get 1080i50, 1080i5904 and things like that. So that's really good for big broadcasters who are running interlaced-based systems.
This is
the other thing we've
SD
done is we've added an AAC
recorder.
Audio codec.
You put in
so
has two slots. You
four
put
files
in SD
can be direct
cards.
Uploaded to YouTube. So this means when you're playing back, when you're recording files and it masters on it, you can just upload them directly. Now the other thing that's good about this is that you can play back the files from the 18 Mini Pro. So even the lower streaming data rates, it'll actually play those. So you know that's really cool. So you can, you obviously switch to. The other video codecs, there's ProRes and other codecs in there like that, and audio codecs as well. It's very flexible. You can change all the different codecs, but I think the H.264 workflow is really exciting. A couple of other little things we've done. The advanced media protocol support has been added into the RS422 remote port, so we've got that now. And a big thing we've done, when HyperDeck Studio Mini first shipped, it's FTP speed. You can actually upload files onto the cards and download files onto the cards with the FTP protocol through the Ethernet. Now, that speed used to be 2 megabits a second when it originally shipped. Now, we did a couple of upgrades and we got it to about 60 megabits a second. Now it's 110 megabits a second, so it's as fast as the SD cards that are plugged in the front of it. So it's very, very fast. Like, you can upload files and download files really quickly. Now, the new HyperDeck 7.1 update is a free update, and it'll be available today. So you can just go and download that, and it's, you know, update your HyperDeck Studio Mini. Get a whole new HyperDeck.
So the HyperDeck is $695.
So I thought before I finish up, it might be worth talking about how powerful these 18 Mini switches really are. Even though the 18 Mini is small, you can.
It's interesting.
They're
really,
This
is low-end broadcasting,
yeah,
which
is totally transform
a
how
huge growth
works
area.
If you add hardware panels, and so.
In fact, one of the reasons NAB has become more interesting over the years is because you see more and more of this, podcast level, broadcast stuff, as opposed to. The big, expensive,
like
broad network engineering show it used to be.
1ME advanced panel over here. So I thought I might show you how to use this. So I'll connect it up. I've got, obviously I've been connected direct to the software here, but what I'll do is I've got a couple of cables here that loop through those two switches. So I'll plug them in and plug them here. You see my software interface has gone off and I'll get rid of this cable. There it is there. Now,
this is what my
now I'm plugged and looped through.
Like
you can see the panels point. Have come up. And because I'm looped through the switcher, I'll turn my streaming off.
Now we get to see the connect.
I'll reconnect. There it is there. And there's my control. Come back up. Now, the great thing about an ATME 1ME panel, I'll go down if you can follow me down. Yeah, you get you get separate buttons for everything because the panel's got a lot more space than obviously we've got here. So you can really do, you've got dedicated buttons for everything. That's why it's so powerful and so fast. So if you follow me down, I can come down here and show you. So if you look at the front panel, you can do the switching along the preview row down here. It's separate of the program row.
That's
so
basically what
here,
we do on the TriCaster. We have two rows. And when I down use here, a plain PC keyboard, I just use the number labels, keys and the function keys. Function is program.
Down here for your auto
number keys are preview.
And your cut. So it's pretty cool. You see, you can see the front
looks
panel.
Very
the,
similar to a TriCaster.
If you actually look down there, I think you can see the front panel of the ATEM Mini Pro switching as I do those switches. See? So I'm controlling that little switcher down there, all the way down there. And you can see it reflecting what you're doing, but obviously here you've got broken into separate rows for the preview on the program. And you can see I can also cut there. You can see it's cutting the source. I can select any other source on the preview bus. I can cut to that. And I select that source. You can see it on the preview
they
window.
They really need
well,
to grade
so.
Their video.
That's why the program preview switching is really good.
Everything
you can
select looks
which source
great.
You say, want that one, and cut to that. Now the program's cut to that. And, of course, you've got the auto there as well. And also, you can change between different types of things. You can change to a wipe. Oh, God, it's got a diamond wipe in there. I didn't know that was set.
yeah, we saw it earlier. Thank you.
DVE.
And you we have a lot use. Of wipes we don't use, too.
See? That hemp movie.
Basically, you want a dissolve and a cut. That's all you want.
A nice sort of blended mix. Particularly useful sometimes.
Although Kevin King is notorious
things.
For his bizarre wipes.
You've also got all the system control menus over here, so you can go through different menus and access different processing in the switcher, all from the front piece. So there's direct buttons in here to do things. Plus, you've also got a downstream keyer over here. So you can see I can turn on the downstream keyer as the graphic, and I can cut it on and off. You can actually see it's a very close reflection of the software interface. What's also interesting is I can tie the switch, see when I tie it, and then when I do the
Jerry Todd's doing the video here.
I'm tying my downstream keyer on and off with the transition, so when my... When I do the transition, it also...
I always felt like Jerry Todd, the SCTV character that Rick Moranis did. When I started doing my own switching on the stream many years ago.
There's even four ME buttons along here. ATEM Mini Pro is a 1ME switcher, but this panel will actually control up to four separate MEs and a bigger switcher. So it's pretty exciting. And now what's really cool is because we've got camera control, we can also use the camera control panel. So this is the ATEM camera control panel over the side here. It lets you control four cameras.
So this is if you don't want to do it in software on a computer screen, which is admittedly annoying, you can do it all with physical hardware.
You can see I can adjust the camera there. Now, it allows up to four cameras to be adjusted at the same time, but you can also change the camera numbers really easily. So you can actually do more than four cameras,
however,
which doesn't matter so much with ATEM Mini Pro, but obviously when you're running a bigger switch, you can do that. Now, you've got different control sections here. You've got some menus here. You've got some of the camera settings. You've got color correction settings down here. And then the main control here is this iris control. That's the iris. And when you rotate it, it's black level. So I'll go down and I'll put camera 4 on here.
Let me just check the prices.
And you can see me adjust camera 4.
Hardware he's using.
See, there it is there. That's the iris and the lens. So you can see that's similar to what the software has.
The panel on
and
the
if
left
you rotate,
is
you can adjust
$3,000.
So you can bring the black down a little bit.
T-bar.
Maybe bring it up a bit
and
brighter.
And the camera control is $3,000. So that's about $6,000 really worth of additional
hardware.
The other
cool thing is you can even do color tints. But this time you've got three knobs. So you can do red, green, and blue in
and
black.
It's still only four cameras, which is hysterical.
Adjust the tints. There, I'm doing it crudely, of course.
But four is all you really need. Most television news operations are three-camera operations. Of course, that's because you can move the cameras.
As it is, and I'm not a colorist, so I actually find that a really good trick. So you can always tell if you're
single for the two anchors, single for the weatherman. You need a two-shot and maybe a wide shot. That's all you need.
Not getting lost because... I often, when I'm using a trackball or a color wheel, I just get a bit lost and end up resetting all the time. But it's nice to actually have the direct knobs for that, which is pretty cool. Now, there's also a wide range of camera settings. You can see I've got all the...
This is the Blackmagic ATEM camera control panel.
It's a bit hard to reach over and see it.
But you can adjust
the gain, which is obviously
Blackmagic design cameras
terminology.
Really work.
But gain, the same thing's called gain in the TV industry. You can adjust focus. There's a focus thing there. You've got a call button, which just flashes the tally. There's also even the color bars button, which wherever it is. If you push the color bars, it'll bring bars out. So if you're trying to test a camera. And what's really exciting is I think both these panels are really great together. You know, when you see these panels together like this and you've got the multi-view on a display behind them, you don't even really know that it's an ATEM.
This is more of a mega church setup than the
ATEM switchy
the little church
over here is doing all the work, and it looks like, but it, you know, it looks like the panels and the multi-view are the switcher. Like this looks like your switching setup, but it's really the switcher here, the little ATEM Mini Pro, that's doing all the work. And so,
isn't that
interesting? What's really great about this is you can
they're just control surfaces.
You can really use the same switcher in a small way or a big way, and it's It's the same switcher, but it's a very different workflow. And plus, these panels work on any model of ATEM switcher, so you can just move into a bigger switcher in the future if you need a lot more inputs.
That's one of the things that Blackmagic's really done well with this ATEM line.
Okay, so that's all we have for
this update. It's a very flexible line.
I just wanted to thank everyone again for all your support. You know, and also, I just want to thank everyone at Blackmagic Design. Everyone's worked so hard on these products, and you know, it's not an easy situation at the moment to be doing this kind of work when there's so many engineering people working together. But they're all working from home. We work very hard on these, so we really do hope you like them. Again, please be safe. This is a terrible time at the moment with the COVID-19 virus, and we just want to make sure we all get a chance to catch up again at trade shows in the future once we get through all this. But, you know, I've got a lot of confidence, a lot of smart people working on this problem right now, and so hopefully we get through it soon and we're all back to work and everything will be okay and we will get a chance to meet up and nobody gets hurt. So look out for yourselves. Really, we are worried and thinking about you. So thanks for watching, and really do hope to see you sometime in the future soon.
So that's Grant Petty. He's Blackmagic's founder. And you know what? I love the authenticity of that. I love the genuineness of that. He clearly loves what he does and understands the products pretty well. Doesn't get a lot of time on it. So there was a little fumbling, but I think he did a very, very good job. And it's interesting because Blackmagic, they've always really made low-cost, high-grade equipment for kind of not consumers, not prosumers, for broadcast operations, but maybe broadcast operations on a budget. And as technology has improved over time, the quality of what they're doing has improved. And people like Alex Lindsay, who are doing very high-end stuff, use almost exclusively now use Blackmagic, have moved from all of the, you know, traditional names like Sony to Blackmagic. And I think that that's pretty exciting. And that's one of the reasons I said at the beginning of the broadcast at NAB, the first place I always head is the Blackmagic booth. It's over there in the South Hall. And it's always fascinating and exciting to see how they brought the price points down and the capabilities up. And the ATEM Mini is really the most exciting thing they've done in a long time. A $300 mini switcher. He demoed that. He demoed its big brother, the $600 ATEM Mini Pro, which essentially adds a couple of features, the ability to record directly to external hard drive and the ability to stream directly to the internet. And that's pretty exciting because it has a built-in encoder, an H.264 encoder, built into the ATEM switcher. And so for a lot of people, that's going to be attractive. Although I suspect, and Anthony Nielsen said this in the chat room, our you know, video guru here, the ATEM Mini Pro encoding would probably be less desirable for people who are doing, for instance, Twitch streams on OBS. They're going to want to actually do the encoding directly on the computer to allow them to do some of the Twitch overlays and things. So there's still a big market for the ATEM Mini. In fact, for most people, I think the ATEM Mini is the right choice. The ATEM Mini Pro is really designed, I think, for actually, believe it or not, less sophisticated people, people like churches and schools that want to start streaming services and class activities, but don't want to have to figure out the ins and outs of encoding and streaming and so forth. And for that, I think a very good choice. They can stream directly to YouTube Live, enter the key in, and I imagine, I haven't seen the interface, but I would guess, I know this works with the ATEM Mini, fine. Enter the key in and you're suddenly streaming to YouTube. This is going to go out on our Twit news feed. That's a new feed. We've separated our live streams into Twit events, which are events outside the studio for the most part. Things like the LastPass event, the event we did with Worldwide Technology, and Twit News, which are events we do in the studio like this, covering breaking news stories and so forth. So we're glad you could be here for both of those, and we hope we will see you again next time. I'll be back tomorrow. Actually, stay tuned, because I should just keep going, shouldn't I? In about 20 minutes, it's a very special AMA. We've done two. We're going to continue to do these. I hope you don't mind, but I just really love the chance to do a more informal get together with people who maybe you don't get a chance to converse with that often. Paul Thurrott's going to join us from Windows Weekly. Florence Ion from All About Android. Stacey Higginbotham from This Week in Google. And I'm missing the fourth. Who's the fourth? Do you remember, John, off the top of your head? Renee Ritchie, of course. And in fact, I know a lot of people will want to ask him about his new enterprise. He's left iMore. So that's coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll do a hands-on Mac between now and then. This is a new show on Twit that we're very proud of. I've been doing it. I'm a Mac user from way, way back, literally 1984, the beginning of the Mac era, and love the Macintosh. And over the years, I've learned a lot of, you know, secret hidden tricks and tips, and we're going to start doing those every week. We'll give you a new hands-on Macintosh. In fact, it comes out every Friday, so I think this will be the debut of this one. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you next time on Twit. Bye-bye. Stay safe.